One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, folks, and good evening, or good morning, good afternoon, whenever you're listening to the pod, if you've not made it to the live show. Welcome to the Gallant Few. My name's Colin, and I'm delighted to be your host this evening. As the countdown to Killy is on, and we will get into the detail of what kind of Rangers we want to see on Sunday. Here to join me to talk all things Rangers and look ahead to the weekend. First of all, it's Andy. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Yeah, the countdown is well literally on. Can't wait to get back to, you know, just seeing the Jazz. Hopefully get back to seeing them play well for once would be nice. That'd be a real good turnout. But it doesn't matter, rain, sleet or snow. Watch the Jazz. So yeah, can't wait.
No, I know. There's been welcome distractions this week away for the title race, but obviously. As much as I'm kind of nervous about the next few games, I just want to man them ham. I want them to be here already. Also joining us tonight, I'm delighted to say he's making a bit of a habit of this now, joining in the Gallant Few. It's Dean. How are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you, Colin. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. It's Friday Eve. Rangers are playing on Sunday. I'm off on Monday, bank holiday, so life isn't apart from all the shit. I moved in about 2 months ago, and the listeners have been getting a regular update. Look at all that stuff behind me, man. Like, still unpacking. I don't know why I threw that in there, by the way, but basically this weekend is going to be my fiction between Rangers games. But anyway, last but not least, hello to all the listeners watching live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter. A wee shout out. If you can give the wee like on YouTube, subscribe, and you know, it really does help the pod grow. And hello to everybody else listening after the fact as well on all the audio platforms. So before we get into Sunday, gents, let's talk a little bit about the young team. We had two massive games last night. Obviously, we went into a lot of detail on the women's game this morning in the news show, and we only briefly touched on the under 18. So I think I'd be keen to get both your thoughts on that. Dean, I'll start with you. Rangers won the Youth Cup final for the 8th time, which some people say, well, that's quite a lot, but when I think in my head it should be us or Celtic every year, I'm like, no, I'd like it to be more. But taking nothing away for the boys, a hard-fought victory over a good Aberdeen side. Good to see that, particularly when there's not too many competitive games for the B team. Good to see the under-18 step up in a big occasion.
Hi, it is. Good experience for the lads to win in the fashion that they did as well. So, aye, it was very, very pleasing to see. And is that eighth time, that's, I don't know, is that some sort of record? The eighth, winning it for the eighth time, is it?
I'd imagine so. I don't know. I've not heard aye. It. I'd be a lie to say, but let's just go for the staunch points and say it is.
Aye, that sounds good to me. No, I'm really, really good to see the young lads doing well, because we all want them to succeed and strive and make the grade to the first team someday. So yeah, tasting victory when they're that age is only going to stand them in good stead for the future, and obviously for us as well.
Reed. Andy, I know you take a particular interest in the academy set up at Rangers. I nearly said you take a particular interest in the youngsters, but that would have came across wrong.
I could see that coming in the sentence when you were starting that, Colin. I went, please don't say what you're about to say, or else I'll be in.
I mean, you are 10 years younger than every Rangers Academy player, so it's okay to say that. But when you grew up, you want to be a Rangers under 18. But you know, back to the task at hand. Is there any players that caught your eye for this Rangers under-18s team?
I mean, I've had the chance to go to, you know, see that the guys play at the training centre, Ibrox as well, once, twice this season. So, yeah, it's been great to, you know, follow their kind of journey this season. I know a lot's made about the set-up, a lack of a proper, you know, game structure, and what that divides opinion amongst the Rangers support. But I think that it's one of these things where, in my opinion, I just love football. So seeing anyone in that blue shirt, I always take an interest in it. But there's some good players, as you said. I thought Archie Stevens, I've seen a couple of times. He was quite good. I spoke to Josh Gentles after one of the, I think it's Partick Thistle, they played at the Rangers training centre. He's a great lad. He was just off the back of him getting called up for Wales. So he looks like a really, you know, determined to make a go of it in his career. And he was obviously rewarded with that last night. Mason Munn, he made a real top class save last night. I think he's doing himself no harm. And when it comes to, you know, shortstoppers, it's a well eyed up position. I know a lot of clubs have kept an eye on goalkeepers, and I think he did himself no harm with that last night. Paul Nasio, he was his class. I've seen him a few times, and he always has a trick up his sleeve. He looks like a real good player. So yeah, it was more of the same. A couple of decent Aberdeen youngsters in there. I know Alfie Bavage. We talked about Football Manager off camera before the start, and he's one to keep an eye on FM, but I thought he was really good for Aberdeen. You know, he really showed that he's got you know, he's been playing this season away from their club. He's been out on loan, and he's been proving that he can cut it in the men's game as well. So I think he had a good performance for them as well.
Dean, you mentioned off air around the scenes afterwards of Philippe Clement going in and speaking to the players, congratulating them. I can only imagine you're on the cloud nine. You're 16, 17. You've just won a trophy for your club at Hampden, then you get to speak to the Rangers manager. I think it's very nice soundbites to see, but I think my question to you is, like, realistically, how much will Clement put his money where his mouth is when it comes to giving you a chance, do you think?
Well, I think given his track record and his, you know, clear ethos, and I would like to think that that's one of the reasons why he was, you know, appointed in the first place, one of the sort of boxes that was ticked when we were, you know, headhunting him. And, you know, so you've got to think that that's then is going to make the grade with the players and give them that chance. He's done it before. And as you say, the boy's been on cloud nine, and then seeing him come in, it's because you can maybe understand if some of the lads would maybe feel a bit distant and not think that they're going to, you know, have the opportunity. But that'd be kissing a cuddle to them yesterday after winning, do you know, will only make them more, have more belief, that they will be able to do it. And I think I'm confident that he will win in time if the players allow it. Now, you mentioned Archie Stevens and things like that. It's, you know, Archie Stevens is just another one in a long line of youngsters who have, you know, who are outshining their peers and standing out and things like that. We've had names all throughout the years that unfortunately don't seem to ever, either never seems to, you know, materialise. But I think Clement being in and his track record, he's got to live up to that. So there'll be a lot of criticism if he doesn't. So yeah, I think it will.
Andy, I've said this about the last three or four managers that I can see them giving you a chance and I've been wrong each time. And Clement has played more. He's played Leon Kine, Cole McKinnon and Ross McCausland, albeit the latter two, probably his hand was forced with that. I don't know. Like, I do see Clement wanting to give more youth a chance, but this is still Rangers, still the same Rangers fans. The demands are still there. With such a transition coming up in the summer, like, we know there's got to be a lot of ins and outs, and it's hard to get experienced players to gel together, never mind adding youth into the mix as well. How much do you think his hand will be forced?
I think the key point there is the fact that we've been saying this for three different managers, and we've yet to see a real, you know, drive and getting these youngsters chances. I know we said a lot about, is McCausland getting too much game time? Is he getting too little game time this season? It's been the topic in a couple of the podcasts. But even the game time that McCausland's had is like 10 times more than you can name any other youth player that we've had. And compare the numbers, it's quite, you know, it says a lot of how good this chance is for Ross McCausland. To me, when we discussed this part of Clement's kind of his task list, shall we say, when he came into the job, I said this was probably a year two project. Kind of give an eye into your where are your potential step ups from, you know, the youth setup to the senior team, and I don't mean just training with the senior team. I mean guys that will, you know, be on the bench and expected to have at least 10, 20, 25, maybe 30 minutes, depending on the scoreline, and you know, getting them in these games and getting embedded into the setup more, so that if you do need to call upon them, if there's injuries, you are more confident in the fact that, oh, we're not just chucking such and such in because we really need it. He's there, he's another option, so that's useful. And having that, we can have, you know, having that extra time to see the players, having that extra trust in the fact that I'm not just chucking you in because you're my only option, I'm chucking you in because you are another option. I think that means that, you know, that's a completely different, you know, view on the player. But as I say, I didn't expect anything like that until year two. So that's what I'm saying with these McCausland, you know, appearances. That's like rocket fuel for the boy. And whether or not you want to make that argument, will he make it as a Rangers player, as a Rangers quality? This is still, you know, a lot more than our academy's been used for in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, Ross McCausland probably has had more of an impact than the last, like, 3-4 youngsters to come through combined. Again, like, it's a whole different conversation on will he be the long-term answer. It's different, but I think you've hit on a really good point there. And William, in one of the comments, he said that there's too much at stake just now to play youth, and I don't think any of us are suggesting that we play Josh Gentles up front on Sunday. Although some of the listeners with their thoughts and deaths may actually go for that. But no, this isn't the next 5 games conversation. This definitely is the summer and onwards. But no, great to see the Rangers under-18s kick off a really busy month of May with silverware. Hopefully the men's team and the women's team can follow that up. So Dean, I'm going to come to you first as we talk about Sunday. The last few weeks, we've all kind of gave our thoughts on the on the position that we're in. 3 points behind Celtic, 5 goals behind Celtic. Still need to go to Parkhead to get the 3 points there. As a podcast, I think we are generally on the negative side. And when asked, can Rangers win the league? How do you see Rangers' chances for the run-in?
I'm the eternal optimist, and I'm not optimistic that we'll go up a couple of levels, which I think we need to go up. I think these players I just don't think they have it in them for whatever reason. So I think the best that we can do is, you know, still maintain wins, still get wins, maintain our position as close to Celtic as possible. But Celtic have experience there. That's one name, countless trophies. So our players don't. So that's kind of where my biggest worry, I guess, is. But and you just hope that the players can not get embarrassed at Parkhead. I kind of says bad, but do you know? That's kind of how I'm feeling at the moment. And hopefully we can, you know, kind of going off subject, but go to Hampden and win the Scottish Cup, because that would that make the end of the season a little bit more easier to take. I was talking with my manager today. He's a Kelly fan. And we're just talking about the weekend anyway. And he's like, you know, pointing out that both beating Celtic this season and both beating the Old Firm this season even. And then he's just like a bit more, you know, crap against everybody else and stuff like that. So you just know that Kelly are going to come and put, you know, on a performance against us, aren't they? So it's just going to make things a bit more difficult, isn't it?
That is, and it's a weird situation because looking at the Celtic team, and I'm never, like, you know, I've been called all the Paddies under the sun in the comments in the past, when I can admit when Celtic are doing well, and I can admit that Celtic have good players, but they don't quite have that killer edge that they've maybe had in recent seasons, and that almost gives you hope. But then it's back to Rangers, where it doesn't matter if Celtic drop points. I've not got any evidence that Rangers will go on a run these next four games.
Sorry to add on that, Colin. Any time that that there's a long ball over the top now, and I don't know about you, but I'm proverbially shiting myself every time that happens. And sorry for the language, but that's how I actually feel, you know. And it's just, it's one of them where I don't have like much faith in us being able to defend certain situations, and teams are going to attack that. And Derek McInnes is a good manager, let's be honest. He's done well, you know, with Kilmarnock, getting them up from the Championship, and, you know, doing well this season against Old Firm. So that put all those things into context for the weekend. I just don't have much faith in the Rangers' defence to be able to not concede, because I don't think we'll score loads of goals. I think we'll maybe score a couple, but it's the other end that worries me more than us scoring, irrespective of Dessers is up front or not. But do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I do. And I think you've summed up my feelings perfectly when you said shit yourself every time you have a long ball. It's a bad day when, I don't know, the number 10 could be at the edge of our box with two players to pass to, and that's less dangerous than the other team's keeper doing a long punt. I mean, that's just it's the basics we fall down in, and not doing the basics well. But I suppose throughout the team, we've not done the basics well enough. Andy, so again, like we spoke in the pod the last few weeks of what we think will happen and how we think Rangers will turn up, but let's put our thoughts on predictions to the side. And now, Rangers do need to do something different. I don't know if that's a like a shake up in the the team or the formation, or Philippe Clement just like goes full Jean-Claude Van Damme on everybody, goes tonto and gets a reaction at them. Do you see any big changes in the lineup or the formation on Sunday?
To be honest, not really. I'd love to say he will completely change the system and you know, have us playing a new way, and it'll right all the wrongs from the last 3, 4, 5 games. But I don't think he's going to change too much. I know that we've had a lot of kind of inner squad rotation as well. You know, happy to get Seema back, and then he's injured again. Now finally get Diamandé back after his thumb surgery. You know, Bonner coming in and out, which moves Sterling around the park. So there's been a lot of shuffling about. I'd like to see him stick to a more consistent 11 where the players are consistently where they should be. I sat and watched the St Mirren game, and it's not to put any, you know, negativity on his performance, because I'll always back him. I think he's a great player, and I think he, on his day, can be the best player on the park for us at all times. I don't know where Todd Cantwell plays sometimes. I don't know what position he's supposed to take up. I don't know if he... I need to be on the ball. And especially in that St Mirren game, at times it felt like he was doing the whole, well, if you're only going to do the hard running and you're only going to track back, well, I'll just do it then. But it felt like as soon as we won the ball back, it was, well, if only Todd was 20 yards up the park, we would be have a great attacking option. I'd want a wee bit more, you know, structuring and our shape and knowing where players are going to be and have those passing options on at all times, if you know what I mean.
See on that, Todd Cantwell got a lot of praise, and I really do like Cantwell. I've said time and time again, he can do things in this Rangers team that other players can't do. I do get what he's trying to do, and I admire his enthusiasm, but it's not just enthusiasm that we need. It's not just lack of effort that's done us. It's just lack of doing the basics again. And part of the basics is keeping the shape. How often did we, as you say, get the ball and the defence or the midfielders, for whatever reason, didn't they quite fancy what was in front of them? Part of that is how we keep our shape. I'm going to kind of go off the topic a wee bit here slightly, Dean. Our listeners, best listeners in the world, by the way, absolutely. Always support, always so thankful for people who tune in and support the podcast. But Charles likes to pop up every now and then with a super comment. So he's really generously donated £5, saying that Celtic know how we get over the line, and we've no bottle. In the summer, we should look at Danny Armstrong, Liam Miller, or the boy McGowan, or the boy Watson. If I was to put you on the spot, that Danny Armstrong, Lennon Miller, McGowan, or Watson, how many of them would you take in this Rangers team?
All four of them.
There you go. That's it. Is there any caveats with price or anything, or do you find that all four of them are available for decent money and would come in and improve the Rangers team?
They come in and improve the Rangers team. In terms of the finances, I think Lennon Miller's, but has he been quoted as, you know, same as David Turnbull, or if not more. So you're talking a good few quid for them, but those players for me are, you know, standouts every time. Every time you see you play against them, they do well against everybody else in the league. You know, they're good players in the Scottish League. I've said this so many times. We, successful Rangers teams of the past have had, you know, players that are good in the league and good in Scottish football in the team. You know, so kind of maybe lost a bit of that identity, I think, as well. So I'm all for that now. I'm not saying these guys are going to be absolute world beaters, but you know that they won't leave anything off on the pitch when they come off, and you know that you're going to get, you know, 7, 8 out of 10 probably every time they play consistently. So for me, I would be signing them all. That's kind of where I'm at with things at the moment, because I think a lot of the personnel needs change. So getting in boys that are, you know, good in the league, that's our bread and butter at the end of the day. Having players like that in the league, and I keep using comparison, like your Kirk Broadfoots, Stephen Whittaker, do you know, Ian Murray.
I thought you were going to say Black Gannon is about to like might drop and storm off the pod.
I'm just surprised you said Stephen Whittaker and you didn't like have to put like the expletive live, like when they drop an F-bomb live on the telly, you have to cut it out.
No, what? See, just on that. See that Twitter meme with the guy standing with his arms crossed and all the sores around his throat, and is like, "What opinion has you like this?" Stephen Whittaker done a ton for Rangers. Right? Yes, he was a rat. He was a decent player. He filled in several positions. We rewrote history.
Yeah. I'm happy to say that all these kind of guys that were in that water team were good players. I wanted Naismith back when we were struggling. I there were so many of those old firm games where Scott Brown was just happy to take the piss out of us because he could, because we were awful. And I was looking at Stephen Naismith at Hearts, diving into challenges and transitioning from being like the fast attacking player he was when he was younger to being a more slower paced, older player, but a smarter head in the middle of the park, and going, we could use that right now. And I know that's horrible because of how, you know, the Whittaker Naismith thing was. But at that time, it was any option was a better option that we had, you know?
Well, I mean, kind of going back to my point there, that those players came in and we were successful with them in our team. Now, they weren't the, I mean, we got to, I know we never won it, but we got to the UEFA Cup final based on just determination, just sheer willingness to get the result. I mean, that's we played what we were always 5-4-1. I'm pretty sure in Europe, weren't we? With five at the back, four midfield, one up top, Darcheville or Kuzan, whoever it was. But we were. That's and the foundations of that team. We were Scottish, and even like the boy, I know it's maybe a bit far out, and I'd like to see the opinions in the chat, but the boy Devlin against us, I thought he was just is it Devlin you call him, the boy please centre mid, is it Devlin?
Is it for Simon?
Aye, is it no Hearts? For Hearts, was it Hearts
Cammy
boy?
Cammy Devlin,
Australia. Aye, even him. Every time I seem to see him play, he's just an absolute animal. He's not the best. He's not the best football player. No disrespect to him, but He was brilliant against us. He was one of the best players on the park. Didn't he give anything away? He was on every second ball. Do you know? Even just things like that in the team, we lack in our players, and it's frustrating.
He managed to get one of Messi's World Cup shots, by the way, Cammy Devlin. So just know, if you sign him, you're signing a guy that's got a piece of history.
Oh, right.
I feel like I've seen that on Twitter so many times. It's like the SPFL banner and stuff like that. And it was the Messi's World Cup shots, 4 out of 5 of them were sold in an auction for like upwards of £2 million for charity. And they were saying, I wonder what who got the fifth shot. And it's Cammy Devlin that got it against Australia.
Right. I'm going to stop it there. Rangers don't need any more wild ideas of signing criteria. So if we start looking at signing players based on what random football memorabilia we have, we'll just chuck it in, right? We'll turn this into an ice hockey podcast. The whole thing's knackered.
I could do that any day of the week, Colin. You know
but, guys, that like we went round the hoosies there.
We've tangented away from command look at the weekend, haven't we?
So we've got a game on Sunday, Dean. So, right, back to kind of how do I link this in? You're talking about the mentality, and right, there is an argument here where that it's not just the best quality, the players with the best quality, or the most talented quality, is going to have to step up over the next 4 or 5 games. that word mentality or bottle or the, I don't know, courage, whatever you want to say it, then, you know, the non-tangible, the stuff you don't see on the park, the stuff you can't quite quantify, that's going to be so important. So I've seen this debate get more and more intense on Twitter in terms of certain key positions that we need to make a decision on Sunday. The back four, I think, for me, the full backs speak for themselves. Tavernier and Yilmaz, if he's available, he'll go in. If not, it'll be Barisic for the sole reason Sterling needs to play elsewhere. I think the big talking point is the centre-halves. Is it Suter and Goulton? Is it Suter Balogun? Goulton Balogun? Personally, I think there's going to be enough rotation over the next four or five games. So we keep the centre-half pairing as is, and Suter and Balogun gets it for me. What's your thoughts on that? Dean, sorry.
You're asking me? Sorry, Colin. Bang on. Exactly the same as you, buddy. Reluctantly in agreement with Barisic, but centre-halves, you've got to stick with that. You can't go rotating that position, those positions. That's Balogun's been in for two, then back out, or Suter gets dropped for Goldson, who's been dropped. So, he might have a sour taste in his mouth, Goldson, and nobody knows, been dropped, Mr. Undroppable, so that might not. You know, so all these things you've got to take into consideration. So I'd keep it the same.
Yeah, a few comments. Stephen Fay, he's scrolled out a couple of the letters in the last word, but I can only presume it's the back four are not worth a fork. And William saying, why can a manager never change to a 3-5-2? He's the players we've got. So, Andy, I agree with both statements right now. Balogun's brought so much calm to the defence, but he was left wandering last Sunday. I do feel really sorry for the manager because we're limited in options. I say all the time, you can only pitch with the cock you've got. On that 3-5-2 question, I don't see his changing formation right now. I think we'll stick.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
With a 4-2-3-1 or that, I don't see us going three at the back, but would you do anything different in the defence?
I've only ever, like this season, I've said, yeah, you go to a back three, but only when you're chasing the game. It's one of the, especially in this title race where it's a draw is as good as a loss. In the grand scheme of things, if we didn't get, you know, the win in Paisley, then that was it, well and truly dead and buried. Not saying that just because we won against them, we're going to go and turn this all round and win every game convincingly and turn the goal difference round and thump them at Parkhead and lift the title. But you need to take it a game at a time. You need to win every game to even have a hope of getting to the next game and prolonging this title race. So I was one of those ones where I went, we're really searching for goals here. It's an option, you know. Get another centre back and get let Tav up the park and let him, you know, be a striker when he feels like it, and know that we've got somebody else behind. I suppose the only issue with the two strikers to start with is that if Roof gets injured, then you need to change the shape because we don't have another striker.
Yeah, I forgot about Riff. I was about to say that we can't play a 3-5-2 because we've only got one striker, but no, I completely forgot about Riff.
But you're half right there. You've got one working striker and you've got a, you know, glass cannon, I suppose, to go alongside with him. I mean, I didn't know that glass could be a good bench warmer, but it seems like it might be.
Dean, what's your thoughts on the man, the myth, the legend, the enigma that is the Nigerian nightmare, Dessers? We every time I mention this word, the comments are up. It's all sugar, all shite. You can't argue with 20 goals. you really can't. I think we need to separate the conversation of what the long-term option is. People are still saying we should have signed Shankland to right cool. That Disney win us 3 points on Sunday, what we should have done 4 months ago. I think, me personally, I'm happy enough with how the big man's been doing for the most part. He's not been any, at his worst, he's not been any worse than any other contributor. At his best, he's thrown big, big goals. I mean, he won us a game on Sunday. What's your take on him?
Hi, just it's all about the here and now, but stick him up top, but keep him there. Obviously, up top is where he plays. That's what I mean. Just stick him in the side for as long as the season allows, for every remaining game, including the final. You've got to be playing him, and you know it's 20 goals. Which is obviously his first Ranger striker to score 20 goals since, I know, Kenny Miller, Waghorn.
Kenny Miller and Martin Waghorn. What a laugher.
So I mean, that's good, but then in retrospect, he should have had double that with the chances that he's... And they're not just chances that he's missed. He's missed complete and utter sitters where you'd be putting your whole life savings on. You know, you'd be putting everything on him that you had for him to score those goals. So just let him keep playing. He looks absolutely delighted every time he scores. He runs his arse off. He's doing a lot of, you know, he's still keeping that going. I think he's maybe aware of the fact that his time could be numbered, you know, time here is numbered, so he might not be here. So he's just doing, and you can see he's trying, he's doing a job, and you're right, over and above a lot of players in the team, he is a bit of a standout in that department. So it's just a shame that he's, you know, it's not as clinical as we want and feel that we deserve our number 9 to be, but keep playing him and he will score goals. If he gets to 25 goals, I mean, that's going to be quite a good end to the season. I mean, what's that, a goal every game, is it? Or 2-1? But my mass is way off at the moment, but the point I'm making is it would be a good end to the season if he just scored in every game between now and the end, which he is capable of doing. You can't, as Andrew says, the glass cannon that's Ruth. You can't really be playing Roof at all, unfortunately. You can't be taking, you know, I'd suggested, you know, putting two up front because we need goals, but is Roof really going to be able to sustain however many games on the bounce? His body, it's a shame, just doesn't seem to be able to handle much sort of rough and tough and whatever on it now, does it? So sad thing is it's just Dessers, and Danilo's is still out, so we're lucky to see him this season. So it's only Dessers we've got. So for the here and now, let's get behind him.
That's it. And you know, it's funny, I'm seeing a lot of kinder comments on Dessers as the week's going, because I think people are now starting to, you know, probably appreciate the effort he puts in, and just appreciate that, you know, he's the only option we've got. But we can't get away from it. You know, Curry's absolutely calling out well in the comments that it should be 30 plus with the chances he had. I'm not going to rewrite history. It should be a lot more. He's missed
double that.
Double that easily. But then Matt Gunnar tried to be the voice of reason. Every player misses chances, even Messi, Ronaldo, Maradona. And never half eight today did I think we'd be talking about Maradona and Dessers in the same conversation. But If I'm being fair, Andy, and I said on Sunday that 20 plus goals for your second choice striker that you sign in the summer, it's a good haul. If he offered me that in July when we signed him, I would have took it. It's probably how much we've relied on goals and how much they've dried up. But Rangers are playing with a setup where goals should come from everywhere. And that leads me to my next question, where you've touched on Todd Cantwell. I think we need to play him because Tom Lawrence doesn't quite look up to it. The question still is on the wings. Fabio Silva, he's just not cutting it for me. He's really not. Absolutely scunnered about Seaman and Matondo just as they were hitting form. So we're left with Silva, McCausland, Dessers, or the
Scott Wright,
which is Scott Wright. I really like the look of Sterling on the wing, but I don't know where. If we can have five Sterlings, we'd be fine. Who are you starting either side of Dessers?
I mean, we've been here, I think that'll be four Thursday shows in a row where I'll say the same thing again, and I hate to be rinse repeat, but I feel like our entire starting 11 revolves about wherever Dujon Sterling is going to be picked to play. I mean, it's if he goes in the wing, well, then you're going to bring in Dio, Lundstrom and Cantwell, but if we're not happy with Bournemouth, well, he goes to left-back. And then you're going to have to play, you're going to switch that wing position up. Or, oh, we think his best position could be in the midfield. Well, you could play him in the midfield, but then it's another position you're going to switch him out of, which means you're going to have to then change your left back to go with Bonner, change your right wing because you're not going with him there, and you're going to put him in centre mid. It's a revolving door of wherever you're going to put Sterling. Anywhere it works for me. I mean, I've said a few times that and you know this, Colin, about how I feel about Borna Barisic. I thought he wasn't too bad against St. Mirren. I think the first goal comes from a long swinging cross from Borna, so I'm happy.
We're going to get fucking shut down. Stevie Whittaker was all right. Borna Barisic was not bad. But honestly, not Barisic's done his job on Sunday. He was
what
fine.
Else did you want him to do? If all you see he has is a cross and he crosses the ball, which puts the keeper under pressure and it leads to a goal, then job done. That's exactly what he's putting the team to do. I mean, it's one of those things. If he scored the hat trick, he'd still be. He didn't jog. He didn't, track back enough there in that one incident, 2 minutes for the last, final whistle. And that makes him, awful and a charlatan and should never have played for Rangers in the first place. I mean, that is awful, honestly. I said it at the Old Firm, and I will continue to say it. Having a left footed left back all of a sudden seems to work. It's almost as if it's like they're naturally gifted to play the ball up the line because they've got a left foot. Or when they are cutting back, which you are allowed to do, folks, by the way, you are allowed to turn back, pass the ball on if it keeps you the ball. Or would you like to play the ball to the right foot of Sterling and him to boot it up the park because he's not got a left foot? I'm sorry, but it's you need to trust in Borna whilst he's here and then relax at the fact he'll be gone in the summer. I'm not saying extend him for 5 years. I'm not that thick. But you need to trust in the fact that he's your best left-footed option because your actual best left-footed option is injured.
Right. While I agree with that, can you at least concede he's a bit of a shite bag?
I still don't buy this because
we're
going to go back to this one. Rugby Park, you're still going to blame Borna for going down and say that it wasn't Lindstrom's fault for that penalty.
My dying words will be Borna shat at Kilmarnock. Absolutely. I will die in that hole.
The water polo goalkeeper and he's jumped up like that to try and stop the ball. Come on, give the man a break. It goes back to this again. You have Sterling, who we don't want to play at left back because he's not. We want him in the centre mid or the right wing, which leaves Borna, and you've got no other option. So get on with it. Get over the fact you don't like him, and get on with the fact he's your only option. That's the reality of it. Did the Brazilian boy sign in January? No. He's your only naturally left-footed left-back option, whether you like it or not. Or do you want to play Ben Davies?
If you want to play Ben Davies, by all means, go for it. See what happens.
So, out of fear of facing Andy's backlash, Clement, let's just say Clement's going to play Borna Barisic at left back on Sunday. Dean, I want to get your thoughts on Dujon Sterling. Bringing it back down there, right here, I do prefer him on the wing. And in recent weeks, I've been saying that I don't like him in the centre of midfield because I don't think he's got a good enough range of passing. Dujon Sterling's attributes are physicality, energy, he's, drive, determination, aggression, all the stuff we're lacking in midfield right now. So previously I've been saying Diomande, Lundstrom, Lawrence, they're the better options. But they're not all quite clicking. So their best qualities are the range of passing. We're not getting that range of passing either way. So I'm kind of starting to do a 180 and think that we should be playing Dujon Sterling in the midfield. I'd like to see him and Diomande there. I don't know if Clement drops Golson and Lundstrom because Lundstrom seems to be his boy. I'm a big Lundstrom fan. I just think he's off the boil right now.
Aye, I completely agree with you there. Because if having players' luxury of range of passing, but then having nothing in front of them, movement wise, now Dujon does a job on the wing and stuff, but I don't know if is he going to be making the runs . But having Dio and him in the middle of the park, I would go all day long, because the attributes that you just ticked off that Sterling has, you're going to get that in the middle of the park, and then the baller that is Dio, you give him a bit more maybe freedom to ping the passes and things like that. But you're right, I don't think Lundstrom's getting dropped as well as Goldson, even irrespective of if he is going to be in the summer. Lundstrom, I still think he starts every game, just because, as you said, I think Clement is the same as his boy. So aye, it's one of them, bit of a tough one, because you want Sterling to be playing in the middle of the park, but then think about where's he going to play in the wing, or what wing's he going to play on, who's Clement going to go with on the wings. That's more of a conundrum at the moment, isn't it? Because we don't seem to be getting any consistency in the wings at all. Not much consistency in some sort of in some positions even, but definitely no consistency on the wings. It's quite, one person in for one game, then one out for one game, then in. So there's no consistency on the wings. So predicting that's quite difficult to do at the moment, I think.
I don't, because I mean, as it stands, if I turn up with a sign the Lionel Messi shirt in the morning, I might get a game on right wing. A lot of comments are coming in, and I get the frustration. I think Curry, he's saying that, we have so many dubs in the team and the fans are happy with it. I see that bandied about a lot, and I get why he says that, and I don't think we are saying we're happy with the current crop of players. I don't think we ever had, although a lot of people seem to think that we do say that. You can only play with the options you've got. It's what's the least shite option, really. Lundstrom's got to be away. Barisic is going to be away. We hope that Davies is going to be away. We hope we're going to sign a few superstars, but that doesn't change what we have for the next 4 or 5 games. And Dean, suppose if I really put a gun in your head, who do you play on the wings? Is it McCausland or Scott Wright or Silva for you?
I'd be playing McCausland. That's on the right. On the left, kind of after Matondo's goals and things like that, you're worrying him a bit, so do you give him games? Silva looks like he's, he doesn't look like he even wants to be here anymore when he's playing to have a first came in. Now, for whatever reason that is, but is Matondo going to be here after the summer? So as another thing as well is, you know, it's his. So I'd like to think that, you know, Clement's the man that's going to give him a chance, because there is perhaps a player in there. But do you go with Matondo and McCausland? Is Matondo fit? Yeah? Is he?
I was going to ask you that, Andy, as grandmaster of
resident Matondo correspondent.
As the Matondo Lodge. What's up? What's the deal?
Oh, well, I thought he would be. I think it was
I'm just double checking before I seen it.
A hard challenge that kept him out of that game. I wonder if he should, unless there were setbacks, which it's Rangers, so there's very well a possibility that there could be setbacks, that he would potentially be at least back in the matchday squad, if not the 11 for the weekend. But I mean, that in my dream scenario, every player on the park's Rabbi Matondo, but I mean, I don't get what I want. So.
Oh, you're so silky tonight. Don't touch my bona. Where's my Rabbi?
I mean, that is what it is. I mean, if I have said it before, if a goal or an assist every 70 minutes is something that you're interested in, then I don't know what the football is for you, to be fair. But I mean, that's just, you know, like, I don't know, the thing called like the stats that tell you that. But it's up to you. I mean, read it all you want.
So, just on that, we're not going to go into the woe is me of the injury situation. That's one we can look at over the summer. But I suppose we've argued and debated and tried to work out how we set up against Kilmarnock on Sunday. And Dean, just a word on the opposition then. They're still fighting for Europe. They've been very good under Derek McInnes this year. I think he's rightly in the conversation for manager of the month. So we know what we're going to get. We're going to get a well-organised drill team who can hurt us if we are careless with the ball and with our shape. So in terms of how Rangers set up tactically, I'm seeing a lot of people say that we need to go for it. We need to scud somebody before the Celtic game. And, you know, it's that feeling is probably twofold, where we want to go into the Celtic game on a high and we want to try and claw back the goal difference. I just don't think we're at it to go gung-ho. I don't think it should be radical. I think we should try and be a bit sensible, play our own game, because I think we can get hurt. Having said that, we're Rangers, we're playing at Ibrox. Maybe I'm being hanging about with Borna Barisic too long and I'm starting to shite myself. What's your thoughts on that? Am I overthinking this, or should Rangers go and put their foot in the throat?
No, you're not overthinking it. It's well understandable to be thinking like that, but they've got to go up two levels, as I said before. If the players got that in them, if they've got that in them, then by a, you know, then it's definitely plausible to go out and give them a spanking. But you've got to think that the players maybe aren't confident enough or whatever. So then keeping it tight and getting the 3 points, as I say, ending the season as respectfully as possible, trying to win all the remaining games and win the Scottish Cup, that should be the target. I would love to, you know, say for us to go out and give them a spanking. We should be actually going out and, I think, not just one team, we should be going out and spanking every team because of the goal difference and because you're going into Celtic Park and not winning there for however how long, not winning a meaningful Old Firm game for how long. So having these, you know, results that are over, you know, 3-0, 4-0, whatever, you know, even a 4-2 or, you know, like just something that's given us that, giving us more goals than for the goal difference, obviously, at the end of the season for to win the league. But we should be doing that to every team, and I don't think these players have that in them. That's where I'm at with things.
Andy, you'll be pleased to know that Charles has been supporting the pod again, and he's supporting you. Stats do give you 3 points, and Matondo is an impact player. But also, in his other comment, he said, Bonner's a shite bag and no for the first time. Massive thank you to Charles. But I suppose same question to you, Andy. I always think about Davey Pollock saying we need to keep the heat, and you know, Bill started to have that war cry now as well. And you know, it is one game at a time. A lot of people talk about the goal difference. I don't think we're in a position to start chasing goal difference. I think we just need to set up, do the basics well to a higher level. We have better players than Kilmarnock. We just need to play our own game. Let's not start chasing something when there's four games to go. I think Clement will give that message to the team. I wonder how the fans will see it. We'll all be there on Sunday. I think it's going to be quite a nervy Ibrox, and I think the team need to learn to deal with that.
Well, I think if the team can stop giving away good chances within the first 45 seconds, then I'm sure that they found the crowd will relax a wee tad. It certainly can't hurt, at least giving it a minute and a half before you give away the ball at the edge of your own penalty box, or you're too busy looking at your back pass to notice the guy running over your shoulder. But I mean, I've seen it. It seems like in some of these games, to the eye test, that we're getting outworked and teams are outrunning us and wanting it more, which is one of the more frustrating elements of the kind of lack of form period we've had in the last three, four, five games, is that we're getting beat and we don't even look like we want to go and right it as a right the wrong, or at least go down without a fight, you know. Going down swinging, you know, apologies. It just looks like we're going out with a whimper in those games. You know, they look dejected after the Motherwell game. I mean, the results are when they're going out, and you just see them just utterly just devastated. Like, we have somehow managed to be in this position again, and it's the again that seems to be hitting the hardest with a few of them. Camera pan to Tav after the full time whistle at Dundee, and you just see him just kind of shaking his head. And you're like, that's the face of a guy that's been here too many times. Whether that says more about our, you know, holding on for players too long, or you know, the same rinse repeat we've had a few years. I get that, and I do understand that Rangers fans will want people paying for these crimes of letting Celtic, you know, climb back ahead of us after 55 and stuff like that. I completely understand that. But as of right now, we're still in this. It's not mathematically impossible. We're Rangers fans. We've seen it go all the way down to the wire and we've won it. But also, if it doesn't go that way, we need to be here to pick up the pieces next season, because the life goes on. Football just needs to stop after the end of this season. Give it 4 weeks and we're back in pre-season, you know. That's our job as supporters, you know. It's the shirt. It's a way of life. It's our life. I mean, I know whatever happens this season, I'll be happy to see us go again next season and have a good crack at it. I still have a lot of faith in the manager. I think I've got faith in our director of football recruitment. I think the summer window will be interesting. See the vein of players that he brings in. I think there's a lot to be positive about. And I think that's the most important thing, is that, you know, we've lost in title races, and it looks like we'll be going into the next season and being completely impossible to make up ground on them. You know, I think of Kashinia teams and, you know, and even Warbs when we're back up, you know, thinking, while we are so far away from them, we are so far away from them that we could sign 10 mil plus players in per position and still get outworked and get outclassed and get out. You know, it's just embarrassing games. But I feel like with our manager, I think the contacts our director of football recruitment's got, I think his vision for the club and where it wants to be going, I think we're on a good path. So I think that's the most important thing. It's just, you know, big picture. If we get beat, big picture. If we win, then the short term's good, and the long term's even better. But you know, it's important to remember that.
Who says football fans are fickle? And just the final word to Davey Teen, very, very good friend and friend of the pod, Helicopter Sunday Mark II, could be on. But gents, I think that'll bring us to a close for this evening. Just a massive shout out to all the listeners. That was really good in the comments today. A massive shout out to Charles for supporting the pod. Everybody watching or listening afterwards, if you can, give us a like on Twitter or a follow on Twitter. Jesus, I need to get doing with the kids. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're getting
Colin,
this.
X.
I'll be calling for us to sign Stevie Whittaker before I start calling that X. but if you can follow us wherever you go, and if you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify or YouTube, it really does go a long way. More importantly, if you can come back and watch us all again on Sunday, we're doing the live stream at 8:30, and we also have a news pod every morning. Tomorrow's myself and young Scott Young, I forgot his second name was Young there. We'll be going through all the headlines tomorrow morning. You get that every weekday, Monday to Friday. All that's left to do is thank my two wonderful guests. Dean, in true Grand View fashion, I'm going to ask you for a farewell and a prediction on Sunday, but it's been wonderful having you on, mate.
Thank you very much for having me, buddy. Pleasure and privilege as always. I fancy us to win 2-1 on Sunday. And I'm also on just to be shout out to the Rangers Journal pod. Just a wee quick plug for that, because tomorrow we have a live stream for 6 hours. Kai Watson of the Rangers Journal's running the marathon. So I believe Colin might be making a guest appearance on that at some point tomorrow. Is that right? No, Colin, have I got that wrong?
So, I'm double booked. I will be on.
Are you double booked? Sorry.
I'll be on from 6 to 7 and then friend of the podcast, Curry Muncher's got to be on with us at 9 as well, and I'm sure me and him will have a good old conversation about Tavernier.
I think you will indeed say so. Just a wee shout out for that, so please tune in and watch, folks, like and subscribe, follow on Twitter, and thanks very much for having me.
Thank you, mate. Last by no means least, the maverick of Matondo Mania, the wizard of the Whittaker camp, the young team representative, Andy. Thanks for coming on, mate. What's your prediction?
Cheers, Colin. Quick shout out to the Bonaparte, it's loyal in the Matondo Massive. You know who you are. We're growing. I'll say it'll be a 2-0 to Rangers. I'm always hopeful that we'll write this clean sheets malarkey and remember what they are. It was unfortunate Mandron scored. It was a really good header, but it wasn't like that was their only chance. We did ride a luck at times. It would be nice to have a wee bit more solidity in the back line, not relying on Super Jack all the time. So I'm going to say 2-0. I think the last time I said we'd be a comfortable 2-0 way. Get beat by Dundee, which isn't a good thing. 2-0, I'm going to say Dessers will score. I trust the big man. I think I'll be just happy to get back to Ibrox, to be fair. I'm really looking forward to home from home. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it as we record here on Thursday night, but the closer it gets, the more nervous I will get. I'm usually quite confident at home games. I'll usually back to stay, score a few. I think it's going to be a nervy 1-0 win. I'll be shaking like a shitting dog, but 3 points is 3 points, and on the next week we go, so I will take that 1-0 win. But have a lovely weekend, everybody. We will speak to you again throughout the weekend, and I hope your team wins on Sunday. Until next time, take care.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.